Today on Varsity Sports, Buck Pierce is a good guy. At least that's what the Bombers have to say. We'll look deep into the persona of Buck and see whether he really deserves this award. Then we'll talk about a controversial overturning in CIS men's hockey. A Manitoba Bison's win has been turned into a loss 2 weeks after the fact. Is the decision fair or foul? Finally, the Jets are heading out on their longest road trip of the year. 7 games against tough opponents. How many points can we expect to earn? It's Wednesday, October 26th, and it's time for All Winnipeg Sports All the Time. It's time for VCS. It is just past 4:30. It's 6 degrees and breaking news. It is snowing here in downtown Winnipeg. Whether you're on your drive home or just kicking back, we're glad to have you here for the Wednesday edition of Varsity Sports on Winnipeg's Indie Sports Station, 92.9 Kick FM. I'm your host, John Godis. Joining me today is my co-host, Kyle Jans. What's up, Kyle?
Not too much, John.
Shout out to the girls on What's Up Winnipeg coming to you Wednesdays at 4. They did another good job this week. A couple things I want to get to off the top here on Varsity Sports in MCAC volleyball. We got CMU at Red River College tonight. As you may recall, I did a lot of shout-outs for the Game of the Month poll over the last 3 weeks or so, 12 to 24 times I told you to vote. Second place in that vote was these two games tonight with CMU and Red River College. So if you're interested in some university or college volleyball, I should say, go check it out. It's at CMU, and I think it's just $3 gets you to the game. So that'll be a good matchup between two teams that have been real good over the past 2 years. Also, on Friday, I will be giving away 2 season passes. That's not for a tournament. That's not for just a game. That's for every single volleyball and basketball game in the MCAC. 2 MCAC season passes will be given away on our Friday show here at 4:30. Be sure to listen in. It'll be just a call-in thing. You can call in after our break on Friday. First caller in gets 2 season passes every single volleyball and basketball game. I'm not going to do it a lot, but this Friday, you'll get your chance to win.
What a deal. That's a must-listen-to show.
Absolutely. We'll try to have some good content to go with that, too. All right, right off the top here. Buck Pierce, he's a good guy. He won the 2011, oh my goodness, Ed Kotowicz Good Guy Award, handed out every year by the Blue Bombers organization. Your thoughts on this one, Kyle? Is Buck Pierce a real good guy?
He's a great guy. He's one of the guys who has been stand-up his entire career. He's never really dealt with any off-the-field issues, and it's something that I think a lot of teams look for in a quarterback, and I think that's also one of the reasons why Winnipeg even decided to take him in the first place. They knew that they would get a guy with good skill and had a very good reputation both on and off the field. Well, on the field, minus his injuries, of course. But he did plenty of things. He was helping out with United Way, has helped with I Love to Read weeks and months all throughout Winnipeg. And he's also chosen to make Winnipeg his year-round home, which I think is something excellent. You don't see it in too many CFL players. But the ones that you do, you can tell that they have a passion for the city. They love this place. They love calling it their home. And they take great pride in representing us through the Bombers.
If at all. I mean, you never see a CFL player. Almost all these guys are coming from, you know, the deep south or from football schools down in the south states. So a guy like Buck Pierce living up here is definitely a testament to what a good guy Buck Pierce is. There is the nature of Buck Pierce with the media, where he can be kind of a monotone Jay Cutler type, where
yep,
he takes the same tone. He's a I'm going to get it done this week kind of guy. And that's why I kind of question whether he's the guy for this award. But you brought up the off-the-field stuff and the fact that he's injured so much. He probably has so much time for stuff like
I didn't think of it that way, that's for sure.
Reading to children on crutches, helping out at United Way on crutches. The guy probably, you know, gets the action in as far as off the field, as community service kind of stuff. So, you know, Buck Pierce, it's a big award for the team to give out, something that happens at the end of year every year. And I guess Buck Pierce, he's the guy. I mean, last year I wasn't thrilled about the fact that we kept him over Stephen Giles, mm-hmm, but he's just such a good guy that they had to keep him and give him this award.
It's nice that Winnipeg's been able to have a quarterback who's been such a good role model for many years now. I mean, you look back to Kevin Glenn, Kahari Jones before him. Kahari was huge into extra foundations and helping out on the side. And it's something that I think Winnipeg expects from their quarterback, or any CFL team should expect from their quarterback. The team, or the fans, look at them, or look at the quarterback, rather, as someone who is sort of the pivotal role on the team, and they take that on the field and just bring it off, and it's great to see.
Absolutely. And if people are out there wondering who the heck Ed Kotowicz is, Ed Kotowicz was a celebrated member of the community during and after his playing days with the Bombers here. He was an outstanding offensive lineman who played for Winnipeg from 55 to 61, so that's where the award comes from. Ed Kotowicz, a former player. And one more thing that the Bombers announced today, apart from Buck Pierce being a gentleman, an upstanding citizen here in this city, Buck Pierce, you're a fantastic person. We all love you here in Varsity Sports. I'm done talking about you for the day. The Canadian Stadium has welcomed 236,257 fans so far this year, and they announced today that based on ticket sales for the remainder of the regular season, this is the first year ever in the last year of its existence that Canadians will let in over 260,000 people, which is fantastic for the last season.
Huge. It's amazing. And also, what's sort of been overlooked is the fact that this team will be hosting a playoff game in the last ever game to be held at the stadium. It's a great way to go out, and I think that's what the organization needed. They needed a strong year to get fans into those seats in order to try and promote the sales for the new stadium at the U of M campus.
And it really the city expanded around Canadian Stadium as far as you know, retail and stuff like that. And it'll be interesting to see what expands around that U of M stadium. I think there's a lot of problems with putting it in the south end of the city there, and I'm not sure if you've got some problems that you've picked out as far as the stadium goes. It's something we haven't really talked about on this show yet, and I want to touch on just a little bit before we move on to the U of M here. The stadium parking is a big thing. Transportation getting into that area is a big thing. It's two lanes right now. I think they're expanding to three lanes. What problems have you picked out as far as the stadium moving to the south end of the city?
Well, some things that I've sort of read into is a lot of residents in the area are complaining about the stadium being so close because their residential street parking is going to be packed up. But I mean, give the Bombers a break. It's only going to be 10, maybe 11 games a year, nights of an entire year, so I don't really see that being a big deal. Parking, however, is going to be huge because I have a hard enough time going to that campus and finding a parking spot as it is, so I couldn't imagine when you're going to be having like 30 to 35,000 people there for a game. Transit, though, is probably going to be the easiest and most reliable way to get there. Thankfully, the city of Winnipeg is working on the rapid transit because that'll lead straight there. And so hopefully there are going to be a few hiccups along the way, but I hope it's some that they work out. I guess downtown Winnipeg just didn't have enough room for a new stadium there, did they?
Definitely not. Not for a football stadium, at least. I think that that's out of the question for downtown. Although I'm sure that would be something that's worth sprucing up the downtown for, would be that. But you're right that they put it on a campus, and I'm not sure that that's the best decision because the U of M, obviously the biggest school in the province, that's the biggest campus there in Fort Garry. And the students coming in and out of there daily are, the numbers are absolutely huge. And to add on traffic as far as the Bomber Stadium, and it's not just game day, it's the Bomber store,
exactly.
It's retail, it's that angle of it as well. I fear that rapid transit is too far away for that to be something we can talk about now.
Yeah.
You would hope that the Winnipeg Transit will have free rides to the games, that sort of thing, because lots of people use that and use it to get to Canadians now, to get to that end of town. So you would hope that they do that again. They would almost need to do that again because the parking will be at a premium.
Yeah, I don't doubt that'll happen. Yeah, I don't doubt that'll happen.
Street parking will be
street
big
parking
thing too.
Will be the biggest issue, and I'm sort of curious what a average student there thinks about this happening. I've never been a student there, so I couldn't really speak for it. But you say you're even there trying to get some extra studying done at the library 2 p.m. on a Saturday or something, and there's just multitudes of traffic.
U of M
there.
Students don't study.
No. What am I talking about?
They don't spend time at school on Saturdays. That's just us.
That's just UW in Red River? That's only here? Wow.
Yeah.
Confusing.
I don't know. I don't mean to call it anybody at the U of M. But
you might have a few ticked off people after the show.
They turned it off right now, probably. the stadium, I think that street parking is the biggest thing for me. Like, I just brought it up and you touched on it. I mean, it's an end of town where street parking is already at a premium.
Yep.
And they don't have what we have here at the downtown schools, where everything's surrounded by the downtown rules for parking, which
exactly.
is 2 hours. You pay, if you do park in a free spot, it's usually an hour. Lots are expensive. A parking pass at the U of M is expensive, but you know they can get around it with street parking, and I'm sure Bombers fans will get around it with street parking as well. So it'll be a situation where there's a lot of traffic. I mean, we had the first Jets preseason game down here, and Rogers shut down, MTS yeah. shut down. I mean, our entire like cellular network here in Manitoba went to shreds. So, you know, you've got more fans than that even, because it's a football game going to the south end of town. It presents a whole bunch of issues.
Yeah, one advantage, though, for this stadium at the U of M is the fact that the Bisons are going to have a new state-of-the-art home to play in. I've only been to their field a couple of times, but, I mean, there's nothing too special about that. So I think them being able to use facilities and the field there is definitely going to help their team.
And it's not – the football program has been good. It hasn't been great. I think we can agree on that. They yeah. haven't been able to compete with the teams out east, and that's something we should probably touch on. As we move forward on Varsity Sports, we'll start talking a little bit of Bison's football, because that's a season that's just starting to wind down now as the CIS starts to end its football season. I mean, you look outside, it's snowing. It's about time to end these summer sports. So that's worth talking about in the future days. Now, I wanted to bring up the U of M and their controversial overturning in men's hockey, but I think we'll save that for after the break. Yep. We'll do about a three-minute break here, and when we come back on Varsity Sports on 92.9 Kick FM, we'll talk about the U of M, we'll talk about the Jets, and following that, we'll give way to the guys on the G&G Hockey Show at 5 o'clock. We'll be right back after the break. Varsity Sports on 92.9 Kick FM.
Kick FM is proud to present the new single from Winnipeg's The Perms, High School High, from their soon-to-be-released album titled Sophia Nights. Friday night, I'm with the guys, and there's no way you can stop us. No, no, we'll be alright, 'cause mom and dad have no idea, 'cause they trust us. For more information on The Perms, including their touring schedule, go to theperms.com or visit them on Facebook. It's alright. Every night, 'cause tonight we are forever and we're never gonna die.
my life, and I'll do what I like, cause I'm just another kid. I am wound up by the fingers too tight.
Download the new single High School High by The Perms on iTunes today.
That was Lover to Lover by Florence and the Machine, followed by our weekly shout out to The Perms and High School. I forget the name of the
album, High School High.
Go check it out. High School High by The Perms. You're listening to Varsity Sports here on 92.9 Kick FM. Some interesting news in CIS men's hockey. The Manitoba Bisons, about a week, I guess a week and a half ago now, played a weekend series against Regina, or Alberta rather, here or in Alberta rather, and an interesting news release coming out today. I'll read it verbatim because it's worth mentioning, and we'll talk about it. Upon request by the University of Alberta, Canada West formed a protest committee to review the result of a men's hockey game between the Bisons and Alberta Golden Bears played in Edmonton on Saturday, October 15th, and it was decided that the 2-1 overtime win for the Bisons will be reversed to become a 2-1 overtime win for Alberta. Ridiculous, right? Okay. The three-member committee reached its decision based on written documentation, video evidence, league regulations, and interviews with officials on the ice at the time. At 2:05 of the second 5-minute overtime, Alberta appeared to score the winning goal, as was indicated by officials on the ice at the time. While teams were shaking hands, the officials determined that a too-many-men penalty should have been called against Alberta instead. Again, that's when the teams were shaking hands. They decided that there should have been a too-many-men penalty called on Alberta, saying an extra Golden Bears player arrived on the ice before the goal was scored during the 3-on-3 situation. This is ridiculous to start with. It's 3-on-3. I can't imagine this happening in hockey, period, but no. It gets worse. Play resumed with the score tied 1-1, and 1:05 later, Manitoba scored with the man advantage to claim what was then a 2-1 double overtime victory. Hockey Canada rulebook, situation number 3, rule 5-3, I've got to say this, states that the play is to be blown down immediately if the offending team has control of the puck. An appeal of the committee's decision was launched by Manitoba, and after careful consideration and examination of all evidence by an appeals committee, the protest committee's decision was upheld. The result of the game is a 2-1 double overtime win for Alberta. So we're getting some law talk in here on Varsity Sports, but how ridiculous is this? A week and a half after the fact, this news comes out, they lose the win, they gain a loss, based on some referees' decisions that came 4 to 5 minutes after the goal was scored.
I don't get that at all. You don't see that in professional hockey, and you never will. If the decision is not made then and there, you cannot go back and refute it. The fact that they did this is unheard of and despicable, if you ask me. You can't take away a team's win upwards of a week and a half to 2 weeks after it happened, especially when you're going to have teams like that sitting on the sidelines just sort of waiting for this decision. It seems sort of silly, and I'm a little confused by that news release there. Does it say that they had to create a protest committee?
I read it verbatim. That is all that's there, is what I read to you. But yes, the Canada West formed a protest committee to review the result of a men's hockey game.
So I can see maybe them in the process of forming it is the reason why it took so long to come to this decision. But I think you pretty much have to let this one slide and then have that committee in order and ready to go in case of a future incident. But you can't go back on a team like that and take away 2 points, especially something that could be critical later on in the season.
Now, the Bisons were 5-1 heading out of the weekend. Their new ranking, I'm not sure if they were third heading into last weekend, 2 weekends ago. Obviously, now they're 4-2 after today's decision. But you're right. I've never heard of anything like this at any level of any professional sport. Something where a week and a half after the fact, you not only change the result of a game, I have seen situations where they've maybe given a goal to a player, credited one, gave away another one. That's fine, but I've never seen a win and loss changed.
Yeah.
I've never
unheard
seen
that.
And that's why this was so interesting for me to point out. Not only is this our team, but it's a situation that I've never heard of before, where one team gains a loss and loses a win based on a silly situation. A too many men penalty is not a big deal in hockey, even though it's a 3-on-3 power play situation. It's something that should have been called at the time. I mean, it's a 3-on-3. You'd obviously know if
you're
going
to be able to count it. Exactly.
It's hockey. It's not football. It's not hard to see. And it's not a 13-man penalty where there's lots of guys on the field and they're all really close together. It's hockey. You can count in very definitive terms how many guys there are on the ice in hockey. And I don't know, first, how they missed this call. Two, how they make the decision 4 minutes later to continue the game when they're shaking hands, and now a week and a half later overturn the win. on three levels, this is the most ridiculous sports story I've heard this year.
Yep, hands down. And I mean, by the sounds of it, it was the officials who screwed up. So why are you bringing all this bad influence in, or why are you criticizing and harming another team's chances by taking away a win from them? It's not right. If anything, when you see this happen in professional sports, you have the officials, you have the commissioner apologize for it. You don't have them changing decisions like that, because once it's done, and that's something that needs to be concrete in sports.
Exactly. I think an apology was all that was necessary here. The protest committee coming together took a long time.
Yep.
The decision that they came to took a long time. A week and a half is forever in any sport.
And I don't
understand this at all. I'll be interested to see in the coming days if there's any word from the Bison's head coach. I don't think the players will be allowed to comment on something like this, but you would hope that there's some sort of comment coming out. And of course, we will tell you about that here in Varsity Sports, and I hope you listening out there are as outraged as I am at this truly, truly ridiculous sports story. Again, the Bison's losing a win on a technicality, and Alberta gaining a win a week and a half after the fact. Let's move on to the Jets. I'm done talking about this. I'm clearly upset.
We're too angry.
Yeah, we are too angry to continue talking about this. The Jets heading out on a 7-game road trip now against very tough opponents. I'll list them off here. They're playing in Philly. They're playing in Tampa Bay. Hold that groan. There's more. They're playing in Florida. They're playing against the New York Islanders. Then they go to New Jersey. They get the entire New York experience. They then go to New York to play the Rangers again. And then they play Buffalo. My God, how many points can we expect to get out of this road trip? It's their longest of the year, so I guess we can take some complacency in knowing that when they come home, they won't have to go on a 7-game road trip again, but a new franchise. I mean, we got our celebrations over with early in the season. Now it's kind of like hard knocks. We're going to head out on the road and get our butts kicked.
Yep, it's so tough to do this in the so early in the year, especially since I don't think the Jets have quite reached their stride yet. It was nice to see them play against New York and, well, lose on a fluke goal. I think that was a game they should have had, considering they dominated the third period. But it'd be nice to sort of see a team that isn't going to get blown out by like three or four, sometimes five goals that we saw earlier in the year. It'd be good just to get some good games out of this and maybe a couple points. I mean, in order for this team to break 500 after this, they're going to have to go 5-2, get 10 of those available 14 points. And that's, let's face it, that's going to be impossible. That's not going to happen. But we need to at least get a couple of points on this road trip. Otherwise, it's going to be very discouraging later on.
I saw a user comment on the Winnipeg Free Press site say that they've expected maybe 4 points. And I was thinking, well, I might be overstating it a little bit. There are some winnable games in here. Florida's not a good team. The Islanders, eh. New Jersey, winnable probably. New York is winnable. I mean, let's talk about the Rangers game that we just played, because we're seeing them again in six games. Two teams that, you know, the Rangers, there's so much talent there, and they struggled mightily throughout, and the Jets didn't fare much better. And it was just failure to reach potential for a full 90 minutes.
It was too bad to see, especially when they were
60 minutes.
Yes, 90. What? Whoa!
I spent a whole weekend watching soccer, and I'm just completely in that mindset still.
You got to get your head in the game, John. This team, they're up against. Was that what we were talking about? The road stretch again, or were we talking about the Rangers?
We're talking about the Rangers.
I got to get my head in the game. Yeah, that game. I didn't actually see any highlights or anything, so I'm just going off of what I heard. But by the sounds of it, they had dominated most of the game, and it was one really unfortunate pass that made its way into the net. But the team showed huge potential, and they were playing the game that they needed to. They were playing a much more aggressive, from what I heard, and it's something that they're going to have to bring in for later on.
Yeah, lots of lots of Jets coverage lately has been all about how bad can we expect this team to be, and I think that's fair considering the way they've started this season. One bright spot for the Jets this week is that Jim Slater, their center, their leading goal scorer, 3 goals in 6 games, who missed that New York game, and his presence was missed because one goal would have made the difference, but he will be back for the road trip. He'll make the trip to Philadelphia, and he'll be ready to play, so that's one good point for the Jets. Jim Slater, a guy who doesn't play on the first line but does leave the team in goals, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah,
for the
definitely
Jets.
Great. He's a huge player on this team, and his presence was missed at the Rangers game. So we'll see what he can do. I don't know if he's been cleared to play officially tonight or not, but see him. He has been okay. Mm-hmm. So that's new to me. But just looking at these records and stuff, it is said that all these teams are at a 500 or better record, but there are still quite a few teams that are just even. And that's
so
about
early.
It.
It's so, so early that's in the exactly NHL season it. To know how good teams are. Philly, obviously, my personal favorite to win the Stanley Cup this year. That will be a tough game considering the fact that they've struggled mightily against teams that score a lot of goals, and nobody's scoring more than Philly right now. But later in the road trip, definitely when they make that big New York tour for the four games against New York teams, I think that two or three of those are winnable.
Oh, they're very winnable. I mean, they're going to be coming back to play the Rangers with a vengeance. You have to know that. Even the Islanders, who are only sitting at 3-3 right now, they still have some weak spots in their lines as well. So, I mean, we're just as good as plenty of these teams here. I don't think it's anything to be too worried about, but it's just the fact that it's such a long road trip.
And the physicality of our deeper lines have definitely been a benefit to the team. Probably the strong point of this team so far in the season. So that definitely helps us out against stronger teams.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Okay, so with that, I think we will close it here on Varsity Sports on 92.9 Kick FM. Obviously, at 5 o'clock, we've got even more hockey talk with the G&G Hockey Show. Four guys who will be fired up. I saw Al taking a nap in the agency, so
He'll be rested and ready to go.
He will be rested, awake, and ready to go in about 5 minutes' time. Once again, on Friday, we'll be giving away two MCAC season passes that gets you into every single volleyball and basketball game, including the championship tournaments for the rest of the season. It's basically your pass to get into everything for free. We'll be giving away two of those on Friday, so be sure to listen in and call in Friday at 4:30 when we take the airwaves once again. Before we take off on this Wednesday afternoon, we'd like to remind you can get all your VCS info on our official Twitter page. You can find us at twitter.com/varsitysports. That's V-A-R-C-I-T-Y sports. Find out show information, how to follow our hosts, and how to subscribe to the VCS podcast on iTunes. To find out more information on news, scores, events, and all things Manitoba College's Athletic Conference, visit mcacathletics.ca. Connect with the conference on Facebook and Twitter by searching MCAC Athletics. You can also visit the website and stream us right in the top right-hand corner of the homepage. For my co-host Kyle Jans, Kick Sports Director Dave Hollier, and Winnipeg's Indie Sports Station 92.9 Kick FM, I've been John Godis. You've been listening to Varsity Sports. Stay tuned for an all-new G&G Hockey Show. Join us at Friday at 4:30 for another great episode. Have a good night, everyone. Thanks for listening.